Recently, there's been a crew redoing some of the brickwork outside of one of the buildings here on campus, and so I've walked past their construction site a few times, and I've noticed they've got these colored beams and pipes and other things, and I thought it might be kind of cool to take a picture. I've walked past it a couple times, and I've thought to myself that one of these days I ought to bring the camera and take a picture. I wasn't entirely sure how to go about doing it, though, and let me explain what I mean. First, I had to get over my self-consciousness about taking a picture in a public place like this. I don't know why, but I'm always nervous walking around with a big old DSLR and taking pictures in a public place. I feel like I'm intruding on people's lives. I feel like a paparazzi or something like that with this camera, even though it doesn't have like a long telephoto lens or anything. It's just a big honking camera. This D200 is big and it's heavy and it looks intimidating. When I took this picture, I was actually walking around a couple other areas, and a few times people stopped and they saw me taking a picture and they didn't want to like get in the way of the shot or anything. And I don't know, it's just, it feels weird sometimes being out with a DSLR in a public place like this, just taking pictures. And it's a mental thing. I just got to get over that. And one way to do that, as I mentioned on a different photo on Weekly 50, is to force myself to do it more. So that's one thing I did. I grabbed my camera and I walked out and I just started taking pictures of this and a couple other things. This is one advantage of smaller cameras like a Micro Four Thirds or even an iPhone. They're just smaller, and so people don't really pay attention to you as much. It's just hard to be discreet with a DSLR. But anyway, it's mostly, I'm just sort of saying this for my own benefit because it's something I need to work on. A lot of photographers don't really have a problem with this, and most people don't even care. I think it's all just a mental thing. In the mind of the photographer or in the mind of me. And it's just something I got to work with. Anyway, back to the photo. There was a couple things to consider when taking this photo. First of all, what angle do I shoot at? Like vertically, what angle do I stand or sit at in order to get the angle I wanted? Do I shoot from the side? How do I shoot this scene with these pipes? Also, framing. What do I want to include in this shot? I've talked before on this on these photos about context. It's important that the viewers have a sense of where this photo is in time and place. And if it's just like a pipe with no context, then it's hard to make sense of that from as you're looking at the photo. So I needed a sense of context. And in terms of framing, I had to figure out what I wanted and didn't want in the shot. At one point, I tried moving to the side, so you had just the purple beams in there. It didn't look good because it just looked like three purple slats, and there was nothing to indicate what was really going on in the bigger picture. Also, what aperture / depth of field? I shot this at 2.8 and 4. And I wanted a sense of depth because you have these pipes coming off of the scaffolding here. But I found that 2.8 was just too blurry, and the pipes that were sticking out just looked way too blurry and distracting even. So I shot at f4. I didn't want to shoot at smaller than f4 because then you wouldn't really get that sense of a depth of field with the pipe sticking out front. And I really wanted to get that. Also, one thing to note is that I shot this on my D200. And the screen on that camera is small. It's like 2 inches, and it's really dim. It's hard to see photos, especially in it's hard to see photos in daylight. At night, it's no problem at all. But it's hard to see how they turn out if you're just looking at the back of the screen of the camera as you're taking your pictures. In some ways, that's actually kind of nice because you have to know your equipment and sort of trust your instincts. You got to know what you're doing, and it kind of takes me back to the 35 millimeter days a little bit, when you couldn't check anything. You just had to take photos and in your mind know what your settings were doing to the photo as you were taking it. And you didn't even have any feedback till like a week later when you got your photos back from the store. So sometimes the limitations of this D200 can be kind of an advantage. You kind of have to envision the framing and the depth of field in your mind a little bit. So it's maybe a nice kickback, I guess, or throwback to the old days, even though it's a fancy piece of electronic equipment. Also, one other thing that I want to mention is I've been using back button focus now for several weeks. I tried it a couple years ago as just an experiment. I didn't like it. But now, man, I like it. It's much easier to nail your focus and your framing. What this means is that on most digital cameras, when you press the shutter button, you have that moment where it focuses, it, like you press it halfway down and it focuses, and then you continue to press and it takes the shot. On digital or on DSLRs, you can take the focusing out of that equation and essentially focus separate from the shutter. And that's what I've done on both my cameras now, where I press a button on the back. On the D200, it's a dedicated AF on button. And on my D7100, I have to map the exposure lock button to do the function of the AF on button. I guess that doesn't really have anything to do with this. But basically, I have to trick it into using a different button for the focusing. But what you can do then is lock the focus, and then if you need to adjust your framing or your point of view, you can do that accordingly. And you can also use the AF points. You can lock your focus. You can change the AF point and lock your focus on a certain part of the photo, or just shift your camera a little bit, lock your focus on something, and then readjust your camera to reframe it, and it's actually a lot quicker than fiddling around with the AF points. But anyway, if you haven't done that, if you got a DSLR and you're looking for a way to try and change things up a bit, I would recommend trying back button focusing. It's really cool once you get the hang of it. And to sort of wrap up this photo here, one thing that does get me about it is it's off center a little bit. You'll notice that there's more space on the right than on the left. I kind of want to go back and retake it to get that nice sense of even perspective going into the background, but I don't think I'm going to. I'm happy with it the way it is, and in a sense, if we strive for pixel-perfect perfection on every single photo, then they almost turn out bland, and I kind of like that this photo, it did what I wanted to do. I wanted to show the colors with the purples and the greens and the depth of a sense of depth and perspective here. And yes, it is a little off kilter with the rest of the scaffolding more on the left than on the right. That's okay, because life is off kilter and life isn't perfect, and life shouldn't be about making everything perfect in every single photo. So I'm happy with it. I don't think I'm going to go back and redo anything.